sometimes Howie doesn't draft like he should. And he made it hurt on Friday night by drafting Jalen Hurts, one of the worst picks ever. Welcome to the Birds and the Berg Football Podcast. I'm your host, Fred Halbig. Joining me tonight, as always, Jay, what's going on, man?
Man, right after that pick happened, I could not wait to get to this show today.
Let me just tell you, we are lucky we didn't record this show Friday night.
We should have.
We absolutely should have, because if I could have got my hands on Howie Roseman, I would have strangled him to death. I would have killed him. If you follow our Facebook page at all and you're listening to this, I posted on there that he should be fired, straight up, that Howie Roseman should be fired. But just when you think Howie Roseman couldn't be any dumber, he went out there on Saturday and completely redeemed himself.
Wow. Completely. Having the word completely there.
Maybe not completely, but he redeemed himself Saturday and had the rest of the draft was amazing. It was good. I thought it was good compared to Friday, where
it was good considering.
Yes.
Yeah.
So as everybody knows who's listening, the NFL draft was this past Thursday, Friday, Saturday. The Eagles ended up having 10 picks overall after doing some wheeling and dealing, and of course they had the most controversial pick of the NFL draft when they took a quarterback in round 2. That is what we'll get into tonight, and we're going to go through each pick and give them a grade and give the class an overall grade. Before we get into that, I know there was some quick news around the NFL today. I know Jameis Winston signed with the Saints, but Jay has an update on that pertaining to the Steelers.
Yeah, so when we were getting ready to record, it came across that the Steelers actually offered him a more lucrative deal. I don't know the numbers on it, years or anything like that. I know he signed a one-year deal with New Orleans, but they're saying Steelers offered him a better deal, and he chose to go be the backup for Drew Brees. So it's kind of a weird thing. I guess that's why maybe they didn't draft a quarterback. Maybe
they thought something happened. They're in the market for a veteran, it looks like. So crazy news. Watch out there. Steelers might be making a move at quarterback. Still plenty of veterans out there. They'll be looking for a job here. All right. So we'll get right into the draft then. Really not much else going on. Steelers did not have a first-round pick. Oh, wait, they did. Jay, who'd they take in the first round this year?
Oh, with the 18th pick, the Pittsburgh Steelers take Minkah Fitzpatrick.
Oh, my God. If I had to read that
single post.
If I had to read that one more. The Steelers had the best draft pick. Minkah Fitzpatrick.
It was outrageous.
We get it, Steelers fans. Minkah Fitzpatrick was good. We get it. Just quit being gay, please.
Yeah, so no first-round pick for the Steelers this year. But the Philadelphia Eagles made a pretty good one.
Yeah. I thought it was going to be CeeDee Lamb. CeeDee Lamb, my favorite wide receiver in the draft, the guy I predicted the Eagles would move up for in our mock draft last week and take at 14, actually fell all the way down to 17. Before he was drafted by the Dallas Cowboys. Broke my goddamn heart. It was right there. There were rumors the Eagles were going to trade up to 16 and get him, but I guess the Falcons didn't want to budge. The Eagles didn't want to give up their second round pick. I don't know why, considering who they used it on. But let's not shy away from the fact that they did, in fact, use the 21st overall pick on a wide receiver, and that was Jalen Reagor from TCU.
Yeah, not a guy that we had going there.
No.
I don't think in the first round we had him.
No, we had him in the first round in our initial mock before we recorded the pod and moved some things around.
Yeah.
He was considered a late first, early second round guy. There were some rumors about him possibly being drafted by the Vikings or the 49ers if he did not go to Philadelphia at 21. So more than likely, he would have been a first-round guy. All right, this guy's 5'11" almost. He's about 195 to 200 pounds, and he can play on the outside. He's an outside speed receiver. That's exactly what the Eagles needed. I know there was some controversy about the Jefferson being still being there on the board. He was considered the better pick. But I think Jalen Reagor fits what the Eagles need more at receiver than Jefferson did. So,
I like it.
I like it. Yeah. He disappointed at the combine. All right, go ahead, Jay. Yeah.
I was going to say, I thought it was going to be Jefferson, like you just said. I didn't. I honestly, when I was looking at it, he didn't even pop in my mind at that point that that was somebody you guys were going to take. I thought it was going to be Jefferson or just some completely random position. But I, after looking at it and watching some of his film, I like the pick for you guys. I really do.
Yeah, I like it too. This guy, he said after the draft that he's 5'11", but he plays like he's 6'4", and that shows on tape. He has a 42-inch vertical, and he goes up and he gets the ball. He ran a 4.47 at the combine, which was a little slow for him, but he showed up to the combine weighing about 206 pounds, and not because he was overweight or out of shape. It was that he just put on more muscle in preparation for the combine, and he even said in an interview afterwards that, you know, it didn't work out the way he wanted it to in that aspect. So he dropped back down to 195 pounds, posted an online video of him running a 4.28, obviously. Who knows?
Yeah.
But there is video of him where he was clocked with GPS on the football field going 22.6 miles per hour on a football field. Jay, here's a list of everybody in the NFL last year that ran that fast.
This is going to be a big list, I bet.
Nope, I got nothing to say because nobody ran that fast in the NFL last year. This dude's a true speed outside receiver. I think it's a great pick for them. I think the fit works perfectly. I give this pick an A, actually. I really, after sitting on it a little bit, I really wanted CeeDee Lamb. But with the, like I said, with the way how Doug's going to run this offense, he can do a bunch of different things. He can kind of be a poor man's Tyreek Hill in this offense. Hopefully, he can get to that level someday. So, give that pick an A.
What was his official 4.4 or 40?
4.47.
4.47. So you would be comfortable saying, because when he ran a 4.2, it was what? Hand time.
Right? Hand time. So, I mean, you're probably looking at, you know, 4.3. 4.3s. But his playing speed is faster. It shows on tape that he's fast. So, and listen, if there was one thing the Eagles offense needed last year, and that was speed, now they got it.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, first pick's an A. Now we'll move on to the Steelers' first pick in the second round, since you guys drafted before the Eagles in that round. I'll let you talk about the Steelers' pick before I get into mine a little bit.
Okay. Because that's going to take a while. Pittsburgh Steelers' first pick was the 49th overall in the second round. And a little bit of a surprise here, they took Chase Claypool, wide receiver from Notre Dame.
Another receiver for Pittsburgh.
Yeah, this is a guy that me and you talked about before we went deep into our draft, doing everything for that. And this was a guy I liked, but I saw him more of a third rounder.
Yeah.
They went after him in the second round, and man, 6'4", 238. This kid is a monster.
Yeah, he's tall, he's built, and he can run fast. Yeah. I'm pretty sure he ran like a 4.4 something.
4.4, 240. That's last year. He had 66 receptions for 1,037 yards and 13 touchdowns. This kid is not a great separation wide receiver. He tends to stay clenched up with the D-backs, especially at the top of the routes. But he's going to win a lot of 50-50 balls. That's what he did in college, and I can see him doing that a lot in the NFL. He plays great with his size. Like I said, can go up and get the ball. If he's used right, he could do a lot of damage on the outside, and that'll give you plenty of opportunity to put Juju back in the slot and let him do what he needs to do. So I love this pick. I'll give it a B+.
Okay. Now, does it concern you at all that there was talks about him possibly being a tight end at the NFL level because of his size? Or do you think that does not matter in, like, today's NFL?
No, I don't think that matters, especially with an athlete like him. He ran a 4.4. He's a big kid. So, I mean, of course you think about going to tight end. But what are tight ends in this league nowadays?
Yeah, that's what most of them are.
Deep tight ends.
Yeah.
So even if there's talk of that, okay, cool, whatever. But I still think he's going to be a good outside guy, let Juju swing back in. And I think it really, like I said, B+, because I still think there was other needs that they could have addressed there. More pressing needs, but hey, they took the guy that was probably at the top of their draft board, and I love it. So I'll go B+ on that.
All right, now let me get into the Eagles' second round pick, and that is the 53rd pick in the second round. Before I say anything here, I just want to say I have nothing against Jalen Hurts.
No,
I wish nothing bad against this kid. I hope he has a successful career. You know, I like I said, nothing against him. I hate this pick. I hate it, and I'm calmed down now. Like I feel a lot better about it now than I did Friday night. But at pick 53, you want to go out there and you want to select a guy that should be a contributor, who can contribute right away or at least sometime in the next year, right? Mm-hmm. And sitting at 53, I know Mims was still on the board. I know Christian Fulton was still on the board. I know there was Espinosa was still on the board, some edge rushers. There were some guys who were considered first-round picks still sitting there at 53. Yes, obviously they fell for a reason. And yes, Jalen Hurts was a good value pick in that spot. But he is not a good pick for the Philadelphia Eagles. One, because you have Carson Wentz, a 27-year-old quarterback who was just paid $130 million. So you just didn't need to do it. If this pick, if Jalen Hurts was the pick in the third or fourth round, because the Eagles' third round pick was 103, which was the last pick in the third round, so basically a fourth rounder. If he was the third round pick, I'd feel really good about it. You know what I mean? The type of player he is. He put up big time stats at Alabama and Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Some of his like QB metrics, some of the shit they talked about, percentage, this, that, blah, 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 that I saw, they were right up there with Joe Burrow. You know what I mean? He's accurate. He, you know, throws a good pass, has enough arm strength. It's not great. He needs some work on his footwork and stuff, but he also rushed for 1,500 yards in college. So this is a dynamic guy. And there was talk about using him in a Taysom Hill role in Philadelphia, this and that, blah, 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 blah. No. No. All right? I just don't get it. I can't justify it in any way. Howie Roseman then went on to the media and said, for better or worse, the Eagles are a QB factory. Give me a fucking break, Howie Roseman. The Eagles haven't produced a goddamn quarterback of any value other than Wentz in decades. It's not like they drafted a kid last year who didn't even make the goddamn team. Don't give me this bullshit that you're a QB factory. The fact of the matter is they are 100% concerned about Carson Wentz's ability to stay healthy. So yes, they went out and they got a quarterback that they can develop, and they believe in their hearts that Wentz is not going to be able to finish the season and that this is going to be their guy. You don't draft somebody in the second round to sit on the bench for 4 years.
Yep. Yeah. You know, everything you said, I can't say anything because you just said everything perfectly.
It's indefensible. Honestly, if the rest of this draft didn't go as well as it did, this is a pick that should get Howie Roseman fired.
Still could.
You never know. But Hurts ends up playing really well and Wentz gets hurt again and it makes him look like a genius. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, Wentz does have injury history. It's there. But if you were really that concerned about it, you shouldn't have paid him all that money.
Here's the thing about Wentz's injury history. How many games did he play last year?
16.
Okay. And when he did get hurt in that playoff game, was that him running and his knee? He tore his ACL again?
No, it was a cheap shot that took him out.
Okay. So the simple fact is, last year, he played the whole season.
Yeah.
So I don't want to – look, yeah, he's had some injuries, but last year he played the whole season.
Yeah.
With nobody. Like, let's not forget, he had shit on that team last year.
Yeah, and he won 4 games in a row, got him into the playoffs, and...
Yeah, he got you into the playoffs with no receiver over 500 yards receiving.
Yeah.
Like, that's incredible.
It's just... He just got over the whole Nick Foles thing, I feel like. Yes. Like, he just won back the locker room. He was out there playing with these young guys that looked up to him. And it's no secret, everybody in that locker room knows who Jalen Hurts is. He's coming into the NFL with a big-time resume, a way bigger resume than Carson Wentz ever had, playing at 2 of the top programs in the nation, being second in the Heisman this past season, winning a national championship his freshman year, obviously getting benched by Tua, then the other national championship, this and that, blah, 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 blah. But he's very accomplished.
Yeah.
And now you're going to have guys in that locker room, if something happens with Wentz, like, they're going to be looking like, man, well, this guy, well, he went to a big-time program. He won big-time games. Yeah. What if the Eagles struggle again next season like they did at the beginning of this year? It just creates an unnecessary environment for Carson Wentz to thrive in.
Yes.
And it shouldn't affect him, and I don't think it will. I'm not saying it will affect him. I think Carson Wentz is better. He's going to go out there and prove it. I'm a big Carson Wentz fan. He's going to be the quarterback of the Philadelphia Eagles. They can't get out of his contract anytime soon.
No.
So it shouldn't affect him, but if I was Carson Wentz, I'd be fucking pissed. I'd be like, yo, fuck you, Howie Roseman.
Yep.
Like, I just don't get it. I'm going to move on from it. We'll touch on it more after the pod. I got a question.
Okay.
But the Jalen Hurts pick, I give it an F. An F.
Okay.
And like I said, it's nothing against him. He might end up being a good quarterback. And the way how he made it sound that they're going to develop him and maybe try to flip him for a draft pick, if that's the case, you better pray you get a first-round pick or it's even a waste there in that aspect. But I don't know. Just
here's the thing real quick with that. If you're going to try to flip him, and hopefully you get a first-round pick, that means he needs to play a lot.
And that means
Carson Wentz got hurt again. So you trade a guy who comes in and plays well for you
exactly.
when your starting quarterback got hurt again and try to flip him for a first-round pick?
Exactly, bro.
Like, it's stupid logic. It's dumb.
Yeah.
It was a horrible pick.
Yeah, I told you this the next day. The only logical thing I could think of is that Carson Wentz told, like, Howie, like, hey, I plan on playing the next 2 seasons, and then I'm going to retire.
Maybe, yeah.
That's it. That's the only thing I could think of. So, all right. Well, we'll move on from that. We'll touch base on that a little bit towards at the end of the show. We'll move on to the third round. I'll let you go with the Steelers pick first.
Okay. So in the third round, this was a comp pick that the Steelers received, and they took Alex Highsmith, outside linebacker from Charlotte. Pretty big kid, 6'4", 242. 75 tackles and 15 sacks last year. Former walk-on, earned a scholarship in 2017, has a very high motor with raw skill and excellent effort. Since 2017, his production has almost doubled every year. Like, he's really learned. He's really come into his own. Needs to get a little bit stronger so he can get off the edge a little better. But honestly, I'm really excited about this pick. And if the stuff with Bud Dupree falls through next year where they can't sign him to a long-term deal, I could see this kid stepping into the starting spot next year.
Okay, yeah. I thought that was a good pick. Overall, he had some juice last year. I saw some film of him. What did you say? He had like 14 sacks last year or something? 8
sacks.
Wow.
15. And then he had 7 the year before. So he's doubling his production every year, which is amazing.
Okay, that was... Is that their only third round pick?
Yeah.
It was like 102. It was right before us.
Yeah, 102. Okay. You guys want 103. Yeah.
Yeah. So the Eagles, with the 103rd pick, the Eagles selected Davion Taylor, a linebacker out of Colorado. I'll be honest with you, this is a guy I really knew nothing about. But after looking some stuff up on him and watching some film, this dude's kind of a missile. He played linebacker, but he's undersized. I'm not comparing him to Isaiah Simmons, but he kind of played that role. He was like a safety, a linebacker, a slot corner, blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean? He ran a 4.39 40 at the combine. Yeah, and he's about 230 pounds almost. So this dude can fly. And like I said, he was out there on that film. He was just blowing dudes up like a missile. This is the highest linebacker pick Howie Roseman has made since Michael Kendricks a while ago. So this is a guy that they expect to come in and possibly start. You know, they don't draft linebackers high. So this is somebody that must have been pretty high on. And the way the Eagles' defense is moving, it's kind of moving into a positionless, like, linebacker core secondary. They want guys that can cover and move around and play fast, and this fits right in with that. I like this pick. Like I said, though, he's kind of raw. He does need some work and not having a solid position. I'll give this pick a B just because I don't know a whole lot about it, but I do think he's going to be a good player, and if he can just fly around, even if it's special teams flying around hitting people like that and eventually becomes a starter a couple years down the road, I can live with that. I like that pick.
Okay. I like it. Yeah, for Alex Highsmith, I give it a B also. With that, I forgot to give
him a
give him a B on that pick also.
All right, round four. I'll let you go first.
Okay, so Steeler, this is the first of two picks that they had in the fourth round. They took Anthony McFarland, running back from Maryland. I will be honest, like you just were, I didn't know much about this kid. Me and you talked a little bit, and you said to, if you want to see what he can do, watch his 2018 game against the Ohio State Buckeyes.
Yeah. And smoked them.
Wow.
He had like 298 rushing yards.
Yeah, 21 rushes, 298, and two touchdowns. He had three runs that were over 60 yards. So, and he had a couple catches for like 170 or for like 120 yards too.
Yeah,
in that game, like he just blew up in that game.
Literally, almost upset like the number two team in the nation by himself.
Yeah. So he's 5'8", 208. He ran a 4.4. Kind of small for the type of running back the Steelers use. Last year he had 114 rushes for 614 yards. Kind of a down year. But he only started seven games because he had a high ankle sprain most of the year. Very fast, could run away from a lot of people, but his size is really a concern, especially in this offense. I think he's going to do most of his damage out of the backfield catching the ball, which will be good. For his ceiling, I think he will probably be a good change of pace back for this team, considering they have two thumpers.
I was going to say, he brings like a different dynamic to the Steelers.
Yeah, I think he is. Yeah, going into camp, he's going to fight Jalen Samuels for that spot. Samuels had a down year last year, so we're going to see. For this pick, I like it because of what he brings as a change of pace, so I'm going to give it a B minus.
All right, and your second fourth round pick?
This one might be one of my favorite picks of the draft, and it's weird because it is an offensive guard, Kevin Dotson from Louisiana Lafayette, 6'4", 310, and they said this kid, he's just nasty.
Mauler.
Mauler, yeah, it's a great word for him. Adds much needed depth to the line. Can be a little stiff in his knees, and he has a little slow feet, so somebody changing directions. So some of the better defensive ends might be able to beat him a little bit, but with time and practice, that will improve. I think he is going to compete for a starting job within the next 2 years on this line. So I really like this pick. I'm going to give this B plus.
B plus.
Yeah. They're saying that he – one of the best offensive linemen in this draft.
All right. Jay, what's up? What's up with your audio, brother?
Can't hear me?
I hear you. It just sounds like you're banging on your mic there.
I'm sorry. I'm sitting in my car. So.
All right. Deal with us here. I know Jay's on break at work. We'll try to rip through these next few. All right. The Eagles had two fourth-round picks as well. And their first one, this might be my favorite pick out of the entire draft, and that was safety Kayvon Wallace from Clemson. This guy was a three-year starter at Clemson. He's 5'11", 206 pounds. He's not the flashiest athlete ever, but the dude just went out there and produced his entire career for one of the best teams in the nation. Had 178 tackles, 21 pass breakups, 5 interceptions, 2 sacks, and 2 forced fumbles in his career. He's kind of more of a lining up in the box type of safety. I could see him eventually as your Malcolm Jenkins replacement. type player in the next year or two. He could possibly, given how well he, you know, picks up everything, he could possibly start this year. The Eagles are very thin at safety. They have Jalen Mills converting to safety after being a corner for the Eagles for the last few years. So there's a chance this guy could come in and push for playing time right away. The Eagles do run a lot of three safety sets on defense. So I really like this pick. I think he was projected as a second or third round, and they were able to get him in the middle of the fourth. So great. You know, there was just value there. Great value. That's what I was trying to think of. Great value for a fourth round pick with Kayvon Wallace. I'm going to give this pick a B+. Like I said, great value, and he could become a potential starter. The next guy they took was Jack Driscoll. He was a tackle out of Auburn. Don't really know much about this guy, but he started 46 games in the SEC. You know what I mean? He's a redshirt senior, played a lot of games in the SEC, 6'5", 306 pounds. They said he's an athletic dude and could play all different parts of the offensive line. He even said that he practiced snapping the ball last year at Auburn. So maybe potential center as well. So, you know, we'll see. The Eagles needed a swing tackle. Not really, like I said, don't know much about this guy, but, you know, they're pretty good at evaluating offensive line help and coaching them up. I'll give this a B, like I said, just because I don't know too much about it. But if you start that many games in that big of a conference, you got to be semi-decent.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And don't ever talk about anybody else playing center for the Philadelphia Eagles, please.
That time's coming to an end soon, brother. He wants to retire. All right, so these next few picks, we'll start moving. It's getting deeper. We'll start moving a little bit quicker here for you.
Fifth round, Steelers had no picks.
Okay. The Eagles had one in the fifth round, and they took wide receiver John Hightower out of Boise State. This dude can run. This is their second receiver of the draft. Big kid, almost 6'2", about 190 pounds. He caught 51 passes for 943 yards last year with 18.5 yards per catch average, 8 touchdowns, you know. But like I said, it's all about speed. He ran a 4.43 at the combine, you know, so he gives you a good size to speed kind of guy here. Can play on the outside, can stretch the field. Solid pickup here for the Eagles. I think he would have been any other year, he could have been a third, fourth round kind of guy. But with how deep this draft was, he ended up going in the fifth round. He should come in and be able to contribute because the Eagles are so bad at receiver. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
So once again, I'll give this guy a B as well. All you could ask for in the fifth round is a big receiver that can stretch the field.
Okay.
All right, on to the sixth round.
All right. Yeah. So Steelers have one pick in the sixth round. Anton Brooks Jr., safety from Maryland. 5'11", 220. So he's a bigger kid for a safety, size wise. Ran a 4.6. So not crazy fast. 87 tackles and one interception. He's not a real ball hawk in the secondary. This is more of a depth pick, I think. Solid safety, big solid guy. Can really come up and hit. I think he's going to be a great special teams contributor right away, but I think that's pretty much his ceiling, special teams. With that, I'll give this a B- because we need special teams guys. So,
all right. Yeah, the Eagles kind of – they had three picks in the sixth round, actually, and their first guy was a linebacker named Sean Bradley out of Temple. Like you said, I think this is more of like a depth special teams kind of guy. But, you know, he's 6'1", 235 pounds. I believe he ran in the 4.4s, maybe low 4.5s at the combine. So another very athletic linebacker they brought in. Knows the area, from Jersey, played at Temple. Like I said, more of a depth pick, more of a special teams guy. Hopefully can contribute in year one. I'll give this one a B-, I guess. I don't know where he was projected. But these next two guys I actually like a whole lot. And the next one in the sixth round was wide receiver Quez Watkins from Southern Mississippi. Another big guy, around 6'1", 185 pounds, ran a 4.35 second 40-yard dash at the combine. Wow. So the Eagles just, they knew what they were looking for in this draft, and that was speed, speed, speed at the wide receiver position. Finished his career with 159 receptions for 2,400 yards and 17 touchdowns. You know, here's a guy who could also bring punt return and kick return ability to the football field. The Eagles could use some help there. So overall, I like this pick. He was actually rated a lot higher from what I saw. He was rated as, you know, like one of the top 20 receivers in the draft, and he went all the way in the sixth round. So I'll give this pick a B, just because I think he might be able to come in and contribute right away with that speed as like a kick returner or a punt returner.
Okay.
All right. If things don't work out with Andre Dillard in Philadelphia, this next guy they took could end up being their future starting left tackle in the sixth round. And that is Prince Tega Wanoga from Auburn. Yeah, this guy came straight from Nigeria when he was like 16 years old. And now he's drafted into the NFL. He started, I believe, like 36 games at Auburn, all at the left tackle side. So big dude. He's like 6 foot. 5, 310 pounds, something like that. And, you know, he started 32 games. He played in 49 total games, all at the left tackle position. SEC, going against big-time competition. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's not much more you could ask for in a six-round pick. I saw him projected as a second to third rounder early on in this process, but he had his knee scoped after the combine, and there was concerns about the knee. So they did take a flyer with an injury guy here, but he was projected to go a lot higher. And in the sixth round, you just can't pass on that type of value. He could end up being at least their best backup offensive lineman, possibly a starter if things don't work out with Andre Dillard.
Nice.
And like another thing, they actually used this pick. They swapped the 210th pick. They swapped 190 and 210. With the 49ers, and they traded for what's his face? Marquise
Lee. No.
No. God damn it, I'm blanking on it now. Speedster from the 49ers. Goodwin. There it is. Yes. God damn, we suck at this. I had it up here and then I lost it clicking through all this stuff. And I
was
going to
bring
it
up after the draft, and then you're after we talked about this, and then you said it and it completely slipped my mind.
Yeah. So Marquise, another really fast dude, ran in the 4.2s. He's 29 years old, has only played one full season in his career, but they took a flyer on him to bring him in to see if he can, you know, bring some more speed to that offense and see what happens there. But so sixth round, the Steelers didn't have anything else, you said?
Nope, just one pick in the sixth.
All right, so we had one in the seventh. I'll let you go first to finish it up.
Okay. Steelers also had one pick in the seventh round. Carlos Davis, defensive tackle from Nebraska. I really knew nothing about this guy. I looked up a few things, and the report on him says not great at pass rush or run rush, run defense.
Okay, there you go.
That's not good.
Yeah.
I did look up a few highlights of his. He's a bigger guy, 6'2", 313. So he can eat up some blocks, but he has really short arms for a guy his size. So he tends to get around and run blocking. And he only had 4 sacks last year. So in the pass, he just offers no push to try to get in there or any type of help. Could surprise, but I think his ceiling is going to be a special teams guy. Or not special teams guy, practice squad guy, sorry. I'll give this a C. It was just a flyer on a guy in the seventh round. So,
yeah, seventh round guys I could really care less about. But you never know. The Eagles took a defensive end out of Stanford named Casey Tuhill. Big dude, 6'4", 250 pounds. Finished last year with 8 sacks and 11.5 tackles for a loss. They said he's a high motor type of guy, blah, 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 blah. Seventh round pick. Don't really know much about him. I'll give it a C as well. So, we'll move on from there. The Eagles, like I said, ended up having 10 total picks. Jay, I'll let you give an overall grade for the draft for the Steelers.
There's some picks in there I absolutely love. The more I think about it with the receiver, with Claypool in the first, I really like that linebacker, and I love the guard we got in the fourth round. I'll say overall, I'll give this a B+. I still think there was a couple needs that they could have addressed a little earlier with some of the picks, and there were some guys that were sitting there that would have looked really good in black and gold, but it didn't fall that way, so I'll go B+ on the draft.
Wow, B+, high. The Eagles draft, if they would have done anything at pick 53 other than Jalen Hurts, anything, I'd probably give it an A. Like I said, I think they got some great value with that tackle in the sixth round and that a couple receivers there in the fifth and sixth round, just speed guys. I like that linebacker they took in the third. I think a potential starter in safety in the fourth. I think Rager's going to be a legit, weapon. I don't know if he'll end up being that prototypical number one receiver in the NFL, but I think he'll be a good weapon for this team. But that Jalen Hurts pick, man, just ruins it for me. But overall, I'll give it a C. Give it a C just, because they did get some positions of need and some speed there. But Jalen Hurts is killing them there.
That pick drop.
Drops him down. Yeah, there's just nothing else I can say about it. Drops him down. All right, before we wrap it up, I know you got to get going. I just want to pose a real quick question. Is Carson Wentz the most disrespected franchise quarterback in NFL history?
Ooh, in NFL history. Man,
you started watching the NFL.
The crazy thing about it is a lot of the disrespect seems to come from in-house with him. Seems like your organization just doesn't care about him that much. And you guys have a history of that. So look, McNabb, he wasn't that respected either. And he played
not
well
even that. They drafted Kevin Cobb in the second round when McNabb was 30 years old. He was coming off of an ACL tear and was getting older and had a few injuries. Carson Wentz is 27 years old. He is just starting the first year of his contract extension this year. And when they talked about this pick, they brought up Lamar Jackson and Joe Flacco. They brought up Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers. Like, yo, dickheads, those dudes were in their mid-30s when you made that pick.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, the whole thing with Nick Foles. Winning the Super Bowl and then not getting rid of him right away. I said it from the get-go that I thought that was a bad idea. They should have traded him right after the Super Bowl year and got whatever they could for him, because that just caused problems in the locker room. And eventually it did. You heard the reports about Wentz coming out being not the best teammate and being a dick. I mean, he was feeling some type of way, I'm sure. And then the following year, Wentz gets hurt again. Foles leads him there. There's literally a goddamn statue of Nick Foles outside of the Carson Wentz has to see this shit every day. There was players putting shrines of Nick Foles in their locker room, and then just when you think this shit's over, they go out and they draft a fucking quarterback in round two. Like, that is just gonna stir this shit up again. Do you know what the first question Carson Wentz is going to be asked about when they can finally report back to playing football and talking to reporters?
Yep.
It's going to be about Jalen Hurts.
It's all about, yes.
This was the first offseason in 2 years where Wentz is completely healthy. And all the
Hey, man, I lost you.
Him, it's just there has been no other quarterback at this age, at 20. Could you imagine that when Ben Roethlisberger was 27 years old, the Steelers went out and used a high valuable draft pick on a quarterback when your fucking receivers last year were all practice squad guys?
Yeah, well, Ben's almost 40, and I'm still waiting for them to draft a high value
exactly. Aaron Rodgers, the Packers just did the same thing. Aaron Rodgers is 36 years old at least.
Mm-hmm.
But they went to the NFC Championship game last year with scrubs at the receiver position. And there's already reports coming out that Rodgers is pissed the fuck off.
Yeah. The question you had, is he the most disrespected quarterback or franchise quarterback in NFL history? I don't know, because I don't see a lot of disrespect coming from outside Philadelphia.
No, I'm talking about from his own organization.
From his own organization? Absolutely. Because you don't see another quarterback. Like, I can't even tell you another guy at 27 who wasn't playing at the level Wentz plays that they even go out and draft another guy. Like, look at Cam Newton. He's a little older than Wentz.
Yeah. And they took a quarterback in the third last year.
Yeah, in the third. That's a developmental guy. You don't take a guy in the second round thinking he's going to be a developmental guy. You know? Like, have guys that aren't living up to what they should have been. But you have Carson Wentz, who arguably was the MVP of the league the year you won the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And they never want to give him weapon. And the fact that Howie said that, that made me so mad. When he said in his press conference, when he was asked about it, look at the contract we gave him. Granted, you paid him $100 million. Look at the weapons that we give him. You've never given him anything. You gave him a broke-down Alshon Jeffries, DeSean Jackson, who plays maybe three games, and you kept Nelson Agholor for no fucking reason.
And paid Nelson Agholor $9 million.
I don't know why I'm so upset about this.
I don't either, but I love it. I need more of this on the podcast every day.
I think Carson Wentz is such a good quarterback, and if he was on any other team who would just give him what he needs, you might have three Super Bowls with that kid by now.
And it just pisses me off that you see all these other teams that have young quarterbacks going out and spending capital and assets to get them help.
Jesus Christ, look what Dallas did. And they have a guy on a franchise tag that they might not even have next year.
Yep.
Look what they did for him. Look what Baltimore did for Lamar Jackson.
Yep.
Like, it's crazy.
Arizona with Murray.
Arizona. Great.
How about Denver with Drew Locke this year? They drafted five receivers. And, like, they did draft some receivers. They drafted three receivers this year. I like it. They went out. They traded for a guy. I think Howie knew that he had to that next day, or they were going to riot in the city.
Oh, Howie, he tried to take every receiver he could. He even took a quarterback. You guys signed an undrafted
quarterback.
Switched
he's
him
a wide receiver. Yeah.
Like, Howie's doing whatever he can to make up.
All right. I just wanted to ask that question real quick, because if I'm Carson Wentz, I'm feeling some type of way.
Yes.
And I am not happy about it.
I don't think I've ever seen a quarterback be that disrespected by his own organization.
Yeah.
If
Carson Wentz was 31, 32, maybe. But, I mean, 27 years old, just got the big contract, just took that team to the playoffs, throwing to literally practice squad players.
Yeah.
So.
And I'll take it to the Steelers. Look at Ben when he was younger. He had those allegations come out. He wrecked his motorcycle and almost killed himself. And what did the Steelers do? They give him weapons. They pay him his contracts. There was no disrespect from the organization. They stuck with their guy. He turned his life around. And look what they did. Two Super Bowls with him. Three appearances.
Well, that's because the Steelers aren't a quarterback factory like the Eagles are, baby. So they had to take a guy in the second round. But we're going to wrap it up there.
All right.
If you guys have anything on this, if you agree or disagree, hit us up on Facebook. You know what I mean? Or message us.
Welcome to all the new listeners that we got over this past week. We saw a big spike on our pages and everything. So thank you guys so much for joining us and following us. It means a lot.
Like, subscribe, review.
Yes.
If you guys write a review, we'll get to it on here. We appreciate everybody. But we're going to wrap it up there. Jay's got to get back to work. Yep. I got to go help with my kid. That was the Birds in the Berg football podcast. Thank you for listening, and we'll catch you next week.